One of the most devastating diseases that a person could have is leprosy. Leprosy has been around for a long time. Throughout the scriptures, we read about those whose lives were impacted by this horrible disease. Perhaps you are familiar with the story that is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5 about an individual by the name of Naaman. Or maybe you're familiar with the 10 lepers that were cleansed of their leprosy in Luke chapter 17. You remember after the 10 were cleansed of their leprosy, only one of them came back to give glory, to give praise to God. And Jesus would ask the question, where are the 9? Or maybe we're familiar with the individual man that was cured of his leprosy in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And after he was cured of his leprosy, you remember Jesus told that man, you go and you show yourself to the priest, which was according to Leviticus chapter 14. And we'll have more to say about that later on in our lesson. Maybe you're wondering, does leprosy still exist? Yes, it does. Thousands are still diagnosed every year with this horrible disease. It's most common in places where there is dirty water and poor nutrition, which causes people to have weak immune systems, which keeps people from being able to fight off this horrible disease. Leprosy is a lot like the flu and cold. That's how it spreads. It spreads much like the flu would, or the common cold. As people think about leprosy, most think that leprosy is simply a skin disorder. But leprosy is much more than just a skin disorder. Leprosy progresses over time, and over time a person's skin may turn white. A person's skin may develop these yellow spots where the skin becomes very, very hard. And over time what happens is a person's skin gets so hard that it breaks. And the disease begins to affect the muscles and the bones and ultimately one's nervous system. Because of leprosy, a person can lose all feeling in their hands, in their feet. And ultimately, a person will stop eating. And because they stop eating, a person will eventually die. We can see that leprosy is a horrible disease. You may be wondering, Clay, why are we talking about leprosy this morning? Because leprosy can help us understand how horrible sin is. Sin is very, very serious. And like leprosy, it's deadly. As we see in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And I hope as we talk a little bit more about leprosy, it will help us understand the seriousness of sin and how deadly sin is. And so what I would like to do with the short time that we have together this morning is to look at the devastating effects of leprosy and compare it to the devastating spiritual effects that sin can have on us. As we look at these comparisons, think about this first comparison. At first, leprosy seems harmless and painless. And over time, one day, a person wakes up and they begin to see the devastating effects of leprosy. There is a progression to this horrible disease, and so it is with sin. Notice with me what the Bible says in Psalm 1, verse 1, and notice how the psalmist begins. And as we read Psalm 1, verse 1 together, you see the progression of sin. In Psalm 1, verse 1, David declared, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You go back to verse 1 and you can mark the progression of sin. It all starts with when sin catches our attention. And when sin catches our attention, we toy with it. We flirt with the idea, and before you know it, from Psalm 1, we're camping out. You see that with Joshua. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, Joshua, he saw the spoil of the land, and he says, "I saw, I coveted, I took." Again, you see the progressive nature of sin. I saw, I coveted, I took. The same thing could be said about David with his sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. When David was up on the roof and Bathsheba was bathing. You remember, he looked upon her. He began to toy with the idea. He began to flirt with the idea. And you see the horrible sin that David and Bathsheba committed, and even Bathsheba's husband was murdered, put to death because of this horrible thing. The progressive nature of sin, and the same thing could be said about us. Because the Bible says in Romans 3, verse number 23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all talked ourselves into doing things that we knew were wrong, that we knew were sin. Sin seems so painless and harmless at first because sin deceives. Sin is attracting. That's why we're encouraged in Scripture in Hebrews 3, verse number 13, that we are to exhort one another daily, like we're striving to do this morning, lest we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In Romans 13, verse number 14, Paul encourages Christians to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So many people, again, are enticed with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The Apostle Peter encourages us to abstain from the fleshly lust which war against our soul. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. We are fighting against sin. And sin is something that we must fight against. But as we think about leprosy, leprosy can teach us so much about sin. It teaches us the progressive nature of sin. Notice the second comparison. Like leprosy, sin works quietly on the inside long before it manifests itself outwardly. Sin works on the inside long before it manifests itself outwardly speaking. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I want you to consider what our Lord says here in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18. Matthew 15, verse number 18. Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And then listen to what he says in verse number 19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Jesus says those things that he just mentioned in verse number 19. Murdering, adultery, fornication, stealing. Those things, they originate in the heart. They come forth from the heart. You see, sin begins in the heart. Sin begins in the heart, and over time, it manifests itself. Those who commit murder, those who commit adultery, those who commit fornication, were first thinking those things. They were toying with those things, flirting with those ideas in their mind, like the children of Israel in Hosea 4 verse 8. You remember what the prophet Hosea said about the children of Israel who were persistently living in sin? They set their heart upon iniquity, like leprosy. It begins inwardly and it manifests itself outwardly. And that's what we see in Scripture. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 verse 7. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whatever in our heart is going to eventually be manifested. It's going to come out in our life. That's why we're shocked when we hear about a Christian man or a Christian woman leaving their spouse for someone else. That's why we are surprised when we see someone who we thought was an upstanding member in the congregation being arrested for a DWI or perhaps being investigated for illegal pornography. That's why we are stunned when we see an active member of the youth group becoming a teenage parent. But as you stop and you think about these things, to us these things seem so sudden. But the truth is, these things that happen, these things have been working on the inside of these individuals for some time. They've been toying with these ideas. They've been struggling with sin. And so sin works inwardly, but over time it manifests itself outwardly. Think about the third comparison in our lesson this morning as we strive to understand the seriousness of sin by looking at leprosy. Leprosy, as we said, develops gradually. And over time, the symptoms begin to show. As I said, a person's skin will turn white, and then a person will develop yellow spots all over their body. As you think about sin, as sin develops spots. Sin causes a person's heart to become hard, like leprosy does with a person's skin. Again, that's what sin does. Sin will cause our hearts, our souls to be spotted. And if we continue to persistently live in sin, eventually sin will ultimately harden a person's heart to such a degree that they're not affected by what they're doing. They don't care what they're doing. And again, we see this in Scripture. Let me illustrate this by going back to the book of Jeremiah. We don't have time to read all of Jeremiah chapter 2, but I do encourage you to go back and read all of Jeremiah chapter 2 and consider what we're talking about this morning. Because at one time, and God's going to mention this at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 2, at one time God's people were faithful to Him. They were serving Him. They were married to God. They were faithful in that covenant relationship with God. But as time went on, the children of Israel began toying with sin. They began to forsake God, and they were turning to false gods. And we see that their iniquity, and notice this language, their iniquity marked them. Their iniquity marked them, a lot like leprosy marks an individual with that white skin, with those yellow spots. Look at verse number 23. For though, and this is what God is saying to His people, for though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, which basically was a home remedy, if you please, yet thy iniquity, notice the language, is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Now the children of Israel thought that they were clean, that they thought they were white as snow. But God says your iniquity has marked you. Your iniquity has stained you. But as you know, the children of Israel refused to repent. And because they refused to repent, their heart became even harder. It became even harder, and look at the progression even here in verse number 35. God says, I'm going to plead with you because thou sayest, I have not sinned. You see, that's what sin does. It marks us. And if we continue to live in sin, not only does it mark us, not only does it stain our heart and our soul, sin hardens the heart. It sears the conscience. You see why James said if we're going to practice pure religion, we've got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James 1 verse 27. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Clay, how do I do that? By walking in the light. By confessing your sin. Not ignoring them. Not covering them up. Or blaming somebody else. No, it comes to sin, you put your name on it. You confess your sins before God. That's how you keep sin from staining your soul. Don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, 1 John 2, verse number 15. We don't love the world in that sense. We keep ourselves unspotted from this world. We don't allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. Romans 12 verse 2. Because if we find ourselves being conformed to this world will leave a stain, a spot in our heart and our soul. And as long as we continue to love the world and as long as we're conformed to this world, we can get to the point where sin hardens our heart that we're past feeling. God's Word doesn't prick our hearts. We're not ashamed. We don't even blush because of what we're doing. Do you see? We see this even in Scripture. Let me show you this in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is encouraging Christians not to live like the Gentiles, not to be conformed to the world, to keep themselves unspotted from the world. In verse number 17, don't live like the Gentiles in that sense, whose understanding is darkened. And because their understanding is darkened, Paul says they have alienated themselves from the love of God, from the life that is in God because of their ignorance, because of the blindness of their heart. Look at verse number 19 and you can see what I'm talking about in verse number 19 as Paul describes those who persistently live in sin, who being past feeling, who've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, wantonness, that is, to work all uncleanness with greediness. How can a person get to that point? By allowing sin to stain their soul, and by allowing sin to harden their heart. Because these individuals ignore their sin. They don't want to confess their sin. They don't want to change their life. And so what happens, like leprosy, over time, sin hardens the heart. And when a person's heart becomes that hard, God says they're past feeling. They don't care. And they don't care what anybody tells them. You've probably heard people say this. I know I have. Clay, I know that I'm lost and I don't care. I know I'm going to hell and that's fine with me. Now, you know people out of ignorance are saying that. You know they don't understand the devastation and the consequence of sin. But people's heart can become that hard that they will say those kind of things. You know, we talked about God's people in Jeremiah chapter 2. God says, your iniquity has marked you. The people said, we haven't sinned. And later on in the book, in Jeremiah 6 verse 15, God told His people that they wouldn't even blush. My people don't even blush at their sin because their hearts became so hard. Notice the fourth comparison. As you think about leprosy, under the old law, those who were diagnosed with leprosy were put outside of the camp. Leviticus chapter 14 and other passages have a lot to say about this. If a person began to see a skin irritation, they would go to the priest, and the priest would evaluate that irritation. For example, if the priest looked at that skin irritation, if there was some type of pus or fluid running out of that skin disorder, that person would be quarantined. If the priest diagnosed that person with leprosy, they were put outside of the camp. And that may seem harsh until we understand how contagious leprosy is. God was really protecting His people, and the people had a series of things that they would actually have to go through. I forget the exact number of days. 7 days would pass, and they would come before the priest to be evaluated. They still might have to remain outside of the camp. Notice how this relates to sin. Under the new covenant, those who are overtaken in sin. Talking about Christians who are overtaken in sin. And listen to me very carefully. Who refuse to repent of their sins because of the hardness of their hearts are to be withdrawn from. They're to be withdrawn from. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "We command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every person who walks," there it is, and that is so key, "who walks or who lives disorderly." The Apostle Paul is not talking about Christians who are walking in the light, who struggle with sin, who confess sin, who are fighting against sin. The Apostle Paul is talking about individuals like the man that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who was living in open rebellion to God, living in fornication, persistently walking in darkness. Paul says, you withdraw yourself from that brother who walks disorderly. And that's what Paul charged the brethren to do at Thessalonica. That's what Paul asked the brethren to do at Corinth. And it wasn't an optional matter. This had to do with a matter of doctrine, a matter of authority, and it still applies today. Now, you and I both know that there would be those who would hear that and they would say, you know what, that's the most harshest and unloving thing that I heard. But when we stop and think about leprosy and compare it to sin, when we stop and understand how contagious the spiritual disease of sin is, we begin to understand why God put the command there. You know, when it comes to the command of God, I wish we would think about this more often. Every time God gives us a command, even a command like that, there's a good reason for it. There is a good reason for it. And you see that reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5. A little leaveneth the whole lump. But as you think about the command, the command is not there only to protect the body of Christ, to keep the church pure to the best of our knowledge, our ability. But the command is there for the restoration of the sinner. The one who is overtaken in the fault, hopefully that person will come to their spiritual senses and repent of their sin. The man that I mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was withdrawn from came to his spiritual senses. He repented of this sin
In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul's now writing the brethren at Corinth and encouraging the brethren at Corinth to receive that brother back into fellowship to prove your love to him by welcoming him back. But there was a good reason why God gave us the command. A lot like leprosy, sin is contagious. And I'm convinced there's probably a lot of congregation of God's people that are contaminated by sin because they don't want to hear anything about withdrawing fellowship from members who are walking disorderly, and shame on them for approaching the Word of God with a Luby's cafeteria attitude, just picking and choosing what they like. There's a good reason for it, and it's something that we ought to think about more, something that we ought to teach, something that we should truly understand. It's really the greatest act of love that you can show an individual when they are overtaken by sin. Greatest act of love. And then finally, as we think about this lesson, leprosy leads to death. Leprosy leads to death. As we've already said, sin leads to death. When you stop and think about this horrible disease of leprosy, it helps us to see how horrible sin is. Leprosy leads to death. Sin leads to death. Oh, it works on the inside. It manifests itself outwardly. As we said, it appears so harmless. But when sin has a firm grip on us, those who live in sin, they die in sin. And Jesus said in John 8, 21 through 24, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Again, that's how horrible sin is. But here's the good news. This is where the parallels, the comparisons stop. You see, there is no cure for leprosy. People who are diagnosed with leprosy, they can be treated. Their life can be prolonged. But eventually, that disease takes that person's life. But as we're talking about sin this morning, there is a cure for sin. There is a cure for sin. Jesus Christ is the one that provides that remedy. Remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, Jesus is described as the great physician. They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. For I will have mercy and not sacrifice. How does that relate to what we're talking about? As I said, Jesus provides the remedy for sin. He is the one that can cure us from the horrible disease of sin. That's why He came to this earth. That's why He died on the cross. And that's why He is described as the great physician. And I am so thankful that we have a cure for sin. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ paid the price for sin so that we can be made whole. As David would say in Psalm 41, verses 1 through 4, Lord, be merciful to me and heal my soul because I have sinned against Thee. This morning I can tell you that there is a cure for sin. Jesus Christ provides the remedy. Please don't ignore the remedy. Please don't doubt the remedy like Naaman did in 2 Kings chapter 5. Respond in obedience to the gospel, to the words of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 5 verse 9, Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. As Brother Leonard mentioned in his prayer this morning, God has provided that plan of salvation. And when a person obeys that plan of salvation, hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of their sins, confessing the precious name of Christ, and being baptized for the remission of their sins, that person can be made whole. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you, we plead with you to do so this morning, to leave here this morning whole. If you are a child of God, if you've already obeyed the gospel, if you have been persistently living in sin, we encourage you this morning to stop, to repent of your sins, to be restored to your first love. It may be that you're a child of God and maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you're struggling with temptation. We want you to know that we're here for you too. We can sit down and pray with you. We can sit down and encourage you. If we can help you this morning in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.